Okay, well, so I will continue in Perakei of Pirkei Avos. Mishnah Vav, it's a continuation of this series of items that have to do, or I don't know, items is the right word, but this is a series of 10. Okay, all the things in these Mishnayos are telling us things that they're groups of 10. Okay, a series of 10. So mentioned in Mishnah Vav, Asar Nisyonos, Niso Vasenis, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Midbar. We find in a negative association that 10 times the Dor HaMidbar, the so-called Dor Deah, tested HaKadosh Baruch Hu by rebelling and so on. It's a pasuk, pasuk itself says it in the Midbar Perek Yud Dalad, and that they tested HaKadosh Baruch Hu 10 times. Again, there is some discussion about exactly what the 10 times are. They're not listed in the Chumash anyway. This is number one, this is number two, and so on and so forth. Okay. But I think that the point of the Mishnah, again, it's not just to give us these numbers, but just as we said, you know, Avraham Avinu withstood the 10 tests and so on, and then the result in a positive sense was Asar Nisim, 10 miracles in Mitzrayim and in Yom Suf and so on. Here, Asar Nisyonos, why is the Mishnah telling us this? And I think because the Mishnah is stressing the notion of Akoras HaTov. And the problem with the lack of Akoras HaTov. Here was a group of people that experienced such a tremendous Yad Hashem. Okay, and certainly, as I mentioned before, they're called Dor Deah. They're knowledgeable people, people who experience Matan Torah, and so on. But yet, unfortunately, they were ungrateful. They had a lack of Akaras HaTov, and you know, that culminated, of course, again, depending on the list, but the Chait HaMeraglim and so on, where they didn't appreciate what HaKadosh Baruch Hu was giving them. This was the unfortunate, sort of unfortunate legacy, so to speak, of that door. That they did not have the sufficient Akaras HaTov to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The truth is that this is unfortunate. It's an unfortunate trait that people have, that they feel entitled, and they don't feel that what they do have comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They should be grateful for what they had. Again, it goes back to being Samech B'chelko that we had back in the previous parak, but I think it's more than that. I think it's not just being Samech with what you have, but more so to express thanks. You know, everybody wants to be thanked. And the more one expresses thanks, the more one realizes that he's dependent upon somebody else. I've mentioned many times in the past, you know, in Hebrew, the word for thanks, hoda'ah, is also the same word for admitting something. So we have in halacha, for example, hoda'ah, hoda'as baldin. Right, or mode bemitzas, right? We have these adina where a person admits something. And hodah also means thanks. The bracha of hodah in the benching and in the Shemoneh Esrei is the bracha of mode, thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But the truth of the matter is, those two things are not unrelated. In order to thank somebody, you have to admit that you benefited from what that person provided. Right, requires first an admission or acknowledgement that I needed somebody else's help. And the truth is, grammatically, we find in Hebrew that when you thank somebody for something, you're mode al, for this, for the al nisechav, al nifosechav, al tovosechav, right? That's in the bracha of modim. When you admit something, you admit that. I admit that. I mode that. She, right? I mode she that this and this happened. You look in the bracha of hodah and Shemoneh Esrei, it begins modim and achtalach, shah tohu Hashem Elokeinu. Not al comes later part of the bracha, al niflo sechavi, al tovasecha shmuchaleis, and so on. So first you have to admit that. I admit modim, I acknowledge, it's an acknowledgement. It's like hodas baldin, I acknowledge, and then I thank. So if somebody doesn't thank, it's because he doesn't really acknowledge that somebody else has helped them, that he was in need of somebody else's help. That was perhaps the avera of the Dor HaMidbar. Mishnah Vav is a list of Nisim that took place within the framework of the Beis HaMikdash on a regular basis. That's a machlokas, whether it was only the first Beis HaMikdash, second Beis HaMikdash also, okay? A lot of them have to do with, it's just suspension, so to speak, with the laws of nature, right? You know, there were no flies flying around, even though there's slaughtered animals and dead meat around, so on and so forth, and nothing ever smelled bad, and the rains in Eretz Yisrael never put out the fire on the Mizbeach, and all kinds of different things along those lines. That's most of them, I think, or a good part of them, have to do with suspensions of laws of nature, which presents an interesting question that some raise why we have a holiday of Hanukkah. Yes, we know the oil burned for 8 days is only enough oil for one day, but, you know, based on this Mishnah, There were nisim that happened all the time in the Beis HaMikdash, right? I mean, that wasn't okay. I mean, I'm not minimizing it, but the fact that oil burned for 8 days instead of one day, it was a place where there were nisim. Again, there's some who suggest that that was, we know that the Hanukkah story happened. That's not some suggest, that's a fact. It happened at the time of the Bayis Sheni. And maybe these other miracles didn't take place in the Bayis Sheni, but according to those that say that these miracles, let's say with the lechem upon him, that the bread stayed out and remained fresh for the whole week and so on, hot and freshly baked, as though freshly baked the whole week. So, question is, what do we have a whole holiday of Hanukkah for? So we need to figure out that there must be something else. We're not celebrating miracles. Something else was celebrating Hanukkah is the fact that, that people returned to Yiddishkeit and so on. So you have to analyze that. But it remains an interesting background, the kind of question. But I just want to focus for a moment on a couple of things that the Mishnah mentions, which is at the end, which is not really suspension of the laws of nature necessarily, but also regarding people and people's behavior, which was against or contrary to the way people normally function. It says, Om dim tzufim mishtachim revachim. There was enough place, enough room for everyone to stand when they stood up, and there was crowded, but yet there was enough room for everyone to bow. So one could say that's also a suspension of the laws of nature, okay? Meaning that even though when they were standing, everyone was packed in like sardines, like in a crowded subway, but there was enough room to bow down. That could be a suspension of the law of nature. However, one can also say that that's simply the way people conducted themselves. Yeah, it's crowded, but you know, we're going to make room for everybody to bow down, right? Sometimes you have a shul that's very crowded because of kippur, and they have korim in the shul, you know, the minute to go down at certain points in the davening by Aleinu and by the avoda of the Kohen Gadol and so on. So somehow there's room. You know, if you make room, there's room, right? So this is not necessarily suspension of the laws of nature so much as of people behaving in a certain way. When you're in the Beis HaMikdash, you know, don't worry, there's going to be room for everybody to bow down. And the same idea, it's too crowded, I don't want to stay in Yerushalayim. You know, in general, there are people who are about Eretz Yisrael and about Yerushalayim, never want to say bad things. I know somebody who moved to Yerushalayim, and I know this person. There's an ordinary balabos who moved to Yerushalayim years ago. It used to bother him when there was garbage on the. He would pick up garbage. He wasn't a garbage man. You know, whatever business he was in, but he'd walk in the street in Yerushalayim. This, hey, street in Yerushalayim. There's garbage on the ground in Yerushalayim. You know, you don't want to say anything negative. You don't want to be, have a sort of a tina, so to speak, against Yerushalayim or against Eretz Yisrael. That's the point. People behave differently when they were in the Makom Mikdash, and that's considered a miracle, not in the sense of the laws of nature necessarily, but in the sense of human behavior. The next Mishnah Ches, lists 10 things which were created Erev Shabbos Bein HaShemashos, right, the last minute of creation. Okay, there are things that come up later on. Okay, there are things that will come up later on. We know that the Rambams have the opinion that everything in nature was created at the time of Sheshet Yemei Bereishis and never going to change and remains for all time. And others disagree, and the Ramban says that things can change after the Torah Mabul and so on. But there are different ways to interpret it here. But all these things that are mentioned here are things that have impact later on. The Pia Aretz, the mouth of the earth that opened up with Korach, Pia Be'er, Pia Asan by Bilam, the Mon, and different things. The question is, what is the purpose of this mission? Okay, why did it tell us, why were these things created, Bein HaShemoshos of Erev Shabbos? Okay, what's the name? Now, I don't want to focus on any one of the individual things that are mentioned in the mission, just the idea that these things were created. For whatever reason, HaKadosh Baruch Hu created them at the very end of creation. So just like to suggest, you know something, a person has to appreciate time. We discussed this in the past. And even what you do at the very last moment can have significant impact. You think it's all done. But many times, and I've had this in my own life, and perhaps you've had it also, people tell you, you know, you decide to do that one more thing. One more thing, the very end, the job is done, but let me just fix this one thing, tighten this one, and that ends up being so significant later on. A person should always, you know, utilize your time to the maximum, up to the last minute. Not saying to wait till the last minute to get ready for Shabbos. That's not a good idea. But I mean, when you're involved in a project, you know, even though it's basically done, if there's something else you can do that can, you never know, something you decide to just to fix up one last thing, one more thing, let me just do it. Let me just, and again, I found it myself sometimes, you know, I'm finished with something, look up, let me look up one more thing. Let me just check one more source. You know what? Oh, okay, it made a big difference. So that's maybe a lesson in this mission that, you know, you're never really done. There's always more that you possibly can do. And that which you do, even quote-unquote last minute, can have a significant impact. So that the Mishnah Ches concludes the list of the series of 10. The next Mishnah is, it's really two topics, okay, but the spans three Mishnah is, relates to things that have to do with seven. Okay, have to do with seven. So it begins by saying in Mishnah Tes, Shiva Dvarim Begolem, okay, Veshiva Bechacham. A golem is usually translated as someone who's as a boor, who's ignorant, you know, uneducated, uncultured, you know, and it's a seven behavior traits that a chacham, a wise person, it doesn't only a Talmud chacham, a wise person, a cultured person, a mensch, behaves in a certain way, and you know, the golem does the exact opposite. The person who's a boor, okay, is the other way around. Okay, now the truth of the matter is, I think it's interesting that he uses the term golem over here as opposed to, you know, a tipesh or some other word to describe somebody who's foolish, okay? Because the truth of the matter is, the golem just means that, like, even when we speak about the so-called, you know, golem of Prague, okay? And that's a whole different discussion. It's not likely that Maromaro ever actually created a golem. That's what the scholars point out. But the point is, a golem is, you know, the Gemara, first of all, you know, the Gemara talks about creating a golem. It didn't originate with the Maharal of Prague. Okay, the Gemara says, Rava bar gavra, okay, once ahead, and the Rava was using the shame of a forest and different things, whatever exactly means. But one thing you can't do is finish the product. I mean, the person can't, the creature can't talk. The discussion of Chacham Tzvi is a tshuva, whether a golem can come from a minion, you know, but he's not a person. He's not a person. And what does it mean? He's not finished, right? In other words, he's lacking something in his development. I think the Mishnah might mention here Shudvarim Begolem, because while this person exhibits all these bad traits, we still don't give up on him. He's unfinished, that's why. He's uncultured, so we can work with him. Okay, in other words, right now he's a golem. He's an unfinished lump of clay, so to speak, who, you know, calls out when the other people are talking, and he interrupts other people, and all the things that list in this Mishnah. Yes, as being his character. The Mishnah really lists the characters of the Chacham and says the golem's the other way around. Okay, but still, the point that I think the golem is incomplete, all right, doesn't use the word fool or ksil or tipesh or something like that, as if to say that even this person can be worked with. We should educate the person, finish him as a human being, as potential. Maybe he was never given the opportunity to develop his potential. Maybe he was, you know, left, so to speak, an unformed, incomplete lump of clay, and now he's going to, you know, and now it's possible to influence him the right way. Maybe that's that's for the choice of words in terms of a golem. The next mission, actually, the next two Mishnahs, perhaps relevant to some extent today, it says, Shiva minu puranas bo olam. Okay, there's seven different types of punishment coming to the world for seven different types of averas. And the Mishnah lists that certain averas lead to the lack of rain, okay, droughts and so on. And it mentions different averas. That's in here, Mishnah Yud. It's really Mishnah Yalav, just a continuation, okay. Dever Bola Olam, a pestilence, a plague. That's where now. A plague comes into the world because of certain dinim that were not carried out properly. These are very interesting Mishnayos because they seem to assign particular averas, okay, particular averas to particular punishments. And, okay, the Mishnah tells us this, all right, but in each situation you'll see this kind of midah connected midah. But I think in a broader sense, Chazal tell us that when a person does undergo suffering, the Gemara in the beginning of the first paragraph of Brachos, and hey, the Gemara says that when a person does undergo suffering, you fash pish b'masav. Person should do tshuva. I don't think that ordinarily, I think I said this in the past, I don't think ordinarily we have the right to say, I mean, here you have a Mishnah, okay, but even the Mishnah is not pointing to an individual sin. The sins that are in the tzibur, okay, when the tzibur doesn't behave properly, so then you can have reasons for the averus. You don't have the right, in my opinion, to point to an individual person to suggest that he suffered or she suffered because of reasons X, Y, and Z. That's HaKadosh Baruch Hu's domain. But on a communal level, we can look for things that we can repair in the community. And a lot of discussion right now about, you know, this coronavirus that has caused such upheaval in our world, in our lives. So how do we improve as a community? Okay, and it bears thought. And that's what these Mishnayos are telling us. These Mishnayos are assigning particular averas, but if you look at them carefully, it's because the tzibur is not you know, is not behaving properly. Some people do it. All people do it. Some people don't do this. There's a lack in the community. And one of them, of course, in Mishnah Yudalev, is that there is sometimes we don't carry out justice properly. We don't carry out justice properly. And again, Parashvius, while it's a personal avera, nonetheless, it impacts the, it impacts the tzibur. So I think that it ends, by the way, with Chil Hashem. Chil Hashem, that's the last one. Chil Hashem, Chil Hashem goes b'ol olam. Okay, that's the seventh one. All the Avodah Zarah, Gilei Ra'ah, Shvi'ah, Kedamah, the major three averes, and it adds also Shemitah Sa'aretz, which is interesting in its own right. But Chil Hashem, so to speak, is something which I think can manifest itself even within all the others, even when you have these other types of punishments and dever and plagues, and people sometimes can behave in the wrong way. And ultimately, the Chil Hashem leads to the worst punishment of all, you know, people being driven out of the land and so on. Again, we're undergoing a magefa now in the middle of a plague, and people are searching for reasons, and you listen to different people, their different suggestions, you know, and each person gives a reason on the basis of his, you know, again, I think I read recently that, that there's some people in Eretz Yisrael, I may mention, said that it's because, you know, the Trump peace plan does not give every ounce, every inch of land to the Jews in Eretz Yisrael. That's why this thing happened, because Jews are, because they're accepting it. And others say, no, it's because we're not accepting it. Everyone puts their own thing. And to some extent, there's truth to every position. Okay, but at the end of the day, we have to figure out as a community what it is that we need to improve on. This Mishnah gives not an exhaustive list. It's not an exhaustive list. Okay, but this Mishnah gives certain things which are considered serious. But as I say, communal averes, and figure out how the community can improve in certain areas. But certainly, the notion of Chil Hashem. Okay, sometimes people behave under stress. And in the situation of a famine or a plague, they behave in manners which reflect a manner which reflects Chil Hashem. In other words, you have a war, you have other types of invasions of wild animals, all the things that are mentioned in this Mishnah, okay, but can cause people sometimes to behave in a manner that's a Chil Hashem. We have to be particularly careful today. This is a concern, okay? Are the observant Jews behaving in accordance with the laws? It's a big issue, in my opinion, that, you have Jews, unfortunately, having so-called rogue minyanim and this and that. And forget about, the halacha. I would say forget about, but besides the problem with the halacha, it inspires, enmity, shall we say, from our non-Jewish neighbors. I talked to somebody yesterday, who lives in Brooklyn, called me up, and he said there's a rogue minyan right near his house. He wants to stop it. He says because of the impact on the non-Jews in the area. They see Jews violation of the law getting together. He said, should he call the police? He wanted to know, can he massa? Again, it's a question, but he felt so angry about it. This is a person who's a Talmud Chacham, and Torah goes to shul, but he said, not now. All the poskim say we don't do it. And the law says we don't do it. So that's a Chil Hashem. A few weeks ago, there was unfortunately, it was a Levaya, a Rebbe in Williamsburg, and so many people, 10 of us, were all in the news, and then they clarified, and they apologized, good. But, it was ironic, because why do all these people come to this Levaya? Because they want to bring COVID to their Rebbe. Right? What was the result? Because it was against, it brought Bizyanis to the Rebbe. Because all papers and mentioned Rabbi's name and so on. His funeral causes to hear. People are coming to bring COVID. The Mamish reverse. They brought Bizyanis and the Mavaza, the COVID of the Rebbe by coming. So, personally, very careful. Okay, sometimes we think we do things, and the right reason ends up being a Chil Hashem. And as I said, the Chil Hashem can even be manifested within all the other things. And that's why the Mishnah ends with it, right? The Chil Hashem. The broad sense or the limited sense, but Chil Hashem is something which is, the worst of the averis, so to speak, and brings about it the worst of the punishments. Okay, we'll stop over here. Continue tomorrow. It's your 11:30, right? Okay. Have a good morning.